Wilma's Wicked Revenge, written by Kay Umansky and read by Claire Higgins.
Chapter 1. My Birthday Tea. So, there I was on the night of my 12th birthday, propped up in bed, stuffing my face with cake and attempting to play the blues on my new mouth organ. Birthday cake in bed is not a good idea. There were crumbs in the sheets and great dollops of butter icing all over the pillow. My teeth were stuck up with marzipan. I had made big inroads into the cake, but there was still a long way to go. Determinedly, I picked up another chunk and, feeling rather sick, crammed it down. Now, you're probably thinking that's a weird thing to be doing on your birthday, sitting in bed forcing cake down your throat all on your own. But then, you probably have a normal family. Mother had organised a nice tea, I'll give her that. Sausage rolls and chocolate biscuits and little cakes and jellies. Of course, she hadn't prepared any of this herself. She's the queen of the night. It's a demanding job involving antisocial hours, and she doesn't have time for such things. She'd just given a list to Mrs. Pudding, our cook, and left her to get on with it. There were five of us seated at the long table in the great hall. Mother, Daddy, Grandma, Uncle Bacchus, and me. We sat in doleful silence, eyeing the feast before us and not touching a crumb. I wasn't even allowed to open my presents. Nothing could begin, you see, until they turned up. I am referring to Frostia and Scarlatine, my rotten sisters. One is Queen of the Snow, and one is Queen of Mirrors. They're older than me. They have proper titles and their own castles. Apparently, that gives them the right not to send a card and to turn up late to people's birthday teas. We had been waiting for an hour. It had been a very long hour. Grandma was asleep. Just as well, really. She's not much fun when she's awake. At one point, Daddy tried to brighten things up by tinkling out a jolly little rhythm on his glass with a fork, but Mother quelled him with a look, and he resorted to building a little pyramid with sugar cubes. Uncle Bacchus kept taking surreptitious little nips from the secret flask he carries inside his toga. Once, his hand crept towards a plateful of crisps, but Mother rapped him on the knuckles with her fan. She was growing anxious, I could tell. Her aura was getting darker. That's the patch of darkness that always surrounds her. It comes with the job. There was a discreet cough from the kitchen doorway, and Peevish, the butler, came creaking in.
"Excuse me, ma'am," he murmured, knee joints cracking as he genuflected before Mother. "Mrs. Pudding begs to inquire whether you're ready for the cake yet."
"Yes," I said. "No," said Mother. "Ask her to give it another few minutes, would you?"
"It's her bingo night, ma'am," warned Peevish. "She's already got her coat on."
"Oh, dear. George, what shall we do? I don't want to start without the girls, but I daren't upset Mrs. Pudding."
"Hark!"
We all jumped, apart from Grandma. Uncle Bacchus was holding up a finger for silence.
"I hear hoofs and sleigh bells, unless I'm very much mistaken."
Relief washed over the table like a tidal wave.
"It's them," trilled Mother. "They've arrived."
They certainly know how to make an entrance, my sisters. The doors crashed open to the sound of a fanfare provided by guards in scarlet livery. We don't bother with guards in the ancestral halls on informal family occasions, so they brought their own. Typical. Scarlatine was all in red, as usual. She had Kissy Woo in her arms. Kissy Woo is her dog, a pampered, fat little fiend sporting a red ribbon tied around its daft topknot. Behind Scarlatine loomed Frostia, all 6 feet of her. She was dressed from head to foot in white. Cold white face, white hair, white fur cloak and a tall crown made of ice.
"Welcome, darlings," cried Mother.
"Mother," cooed Scarlatine, dropping her cloak on the floor for Peevish to pick up.
"Hello, everyone," drawled Frostia, advancing into the hall. The temperature immediately dropped by several degrees. "It's very warm in here. Do you mind?"
She pointed a white finger at the blazing fire at the far end of the hall. Instantly, it went out.